Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Stuart Campbell, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting is Sophia Wilson. A modest, mild apology in advance. We are recording this late on a Wednesday afternoon, and from bitter experience, recording at the end of the day generally goes very badly on account of my brain fog. So Sophia, I apologise for all the upcoming stumbles and outrageous swearing.
It's all right. Luckily, we have the wonderful Grace, who manages to edit out. Gosh, I'm going to start by editing out that. I can't even say the word edit. Your rambling, swearing, and of course, my terrible pronunciations of various yacht names. So everyone buckle in and enjoy.
The outtakes would be X-rated for the podcast. I hope they never see the light of day.
Grace maybe squirrels them away somewhere as blackmail.
I hope not. Yeah. I hope not. So we thought we'd actually kick off by talking about some very active super yachts. Obviously, it's been a bit tricky cruising the world the last couple of years, but we thought we'd dig into how much people were traveling so far in 2022. And it turns out the answer's a lot. Super yacht cruising and travel and just distance traveled has exploded literally in 2022. It's up 60% on 2021, which is probably understandable given how COVID affected that season was. By our calculations, the fleet, the global fleet, which is, I think it's more than 13,000 strong now, right, Sophia?
Yep. I'm going to say it with confidence.
I think it's a little bit north of 13,000 now. I remember when we crossed 10,000, it was opened a bottle of champagne, but now we're 13,000, crazy. Anyway, so collectively, those 13,000 super yachts chugged more than 9 million nautical miles in the first half of 2022.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a little bit tricky to calculate the total number. For the top yachts, we definitely have, but obviously sometimes we can't tell whether their trackers are pinging when they're on transporters or whether they're on traveling on, under their own steam. But it's still a huge number of miles that have been covered.
I think being carried, I think you can
still
just
legit
about count that. So 9 million. Wow. So the average distance traveled by a super yacht in the first half of 2022 was 1,857 nautical miles, more than 200 nautical miles, more than the average in 2021. So we thought we'd do the ultimate leaderboard. Who of the global fleet has traveled the most in the first 6 months of 2022? What is at number five, Sophia? Everyone's on tenterhooks.
So coming in at number five is Mimi with 14,977 nautical miles travelled. She was built by Bonetti and is the only Italian-built yacht to appear in the top 10 of the furthest yachts travelled so far this year. She had a change of ownership at the beginning of 2021, and following an extensive refit, her new owners haven't hung about. So she departed Auckland in February and has basically been on the move ever since. So French Polynesia was first on her list. Then she headed straight back up to the Panama Canal. Then she went to the Caribbean and Bermuda before making the trip across the Atlantic. She arrived in Gibraltar 10 days later, and she's currently enjoying the Adriatic coastline. So, yeah, what a start to the year for them.
Well done, Mimi. That's 60-metre Mimi, delivered in 2008, formerly known as Amnesia and Andreas L. Very well-travelled boat. I think, what was the number again?
Just under 15,000 nautical miles.
Excellent. Congratulations to Mimi. And in at four
was Aquila, which was, of course, launched as Catewalk in 2010 and is still to this day the largest yacht ever to be built in the USA. So the yacht traditionally kind of goes between the Caribbean in the winter and the summer in the Med, as, of course, a majority of the fleet does. But this year, she also took a trip out through the Panama Canal, headed up to San Diego, Los Angeles and the Gulf of California before then heading back across to the Mediterranean, which took her up to a total of 15,529 nautical miles.
Aquila obviously launched as Cakewalk in 2010, refitted extensively, mind you, at Pendennis a few years ago. It did a fantastic job. I'm looking at the heat map of her movements now. She spent a lot of time in the Baja Peninsula, or around the Baja Peninsula, which is that's top of my list, certainly. Baja, I'd love to go there. We did a feature with
Nomad.
Well reminded, the 55-metre Amels, they spent a lot of time in Baja. That feature was in the magazine a few years ago. I told you we shouldn't do this at the
end of the day. It wasn't a few years ago, it was a few months ago.
A few months ago. Oh, no. Don't record a podcast at 26 on a Wednesday afternoon, I think, is the moral of this story. All right. Who's in at number three?
So number three, we have not one, but two yachts, Hodor and Lonian. 66-metre Hodor is, of course, a support vessel to the 87-metre Fedship, and the two have been cruising in tandem since 2019. The duo celebrated New Year from the Gulf of California before heading south to Panama and then onto the Galapagos Islands. The next stop was Pacific and Tahiti before heading north to Hawaii and then back to mainland US. Currently, they are both in British Columbia. So yeah, Hodor as a support vessel is probably one of, if not our top yet read yacht report on the website.
Yeah, people, it does fantastically well, doesn't it?
Love looking at her, which is great.
Yeah, they've done a lot in the Pacific, a lot of time in the Pacific, and now they're up in BC experiencing. I keep hearing about what an amazing, almost dangerously good summer. There's some kind of crazy number of consistent days of over X temperature in British Columbia that's completely unheard of. So for everyone sweating up in British Columbia,
quite a lot of hot bears, I imagine.
Very hot bears, yeah. But again, a stunning place to cruise. I'd love to do a season up there. Number two is
M5, which, of course, is the largest single-masted sailing yacht in the world and the only sail-powered vessel to have travelled more than 12,000 nautical miles in the first half of the year. So she has actually travelled 16,239 nautical miles. So she's completed a full circumnavigation of the South American continent. Her crew started in Florida and began working their way through the Caribbean down the eastern coastline of South America, stopping in Rio and then going on down through. And now this is where my pronunciation starts to go. Montevideo, Puerto Madryn and Tierra del Fuego Islands in Argentina. On the way back up, she paid a visit to Puerto Montt, Iquique in Chile, Panama, Costa Rica and La Paz.
That is a proper trip, that. Look at that. You can see, one of the things Boat Pro gives you is it lets you kind of track each of these boats and does a heat map for how long they spent in each location. There's a fantastic route map, well, kind of a trail, effectively, that they've left all the right way around South America. It looks absolutely brilliant. Your pronunciation wasn't too bad. Tierra del Fuego, La Paz, Montevideo.
That's Spanish GCSEs, really.
I got a B in Spanish GCSEs.
Really coming to good use.
Yeah, but what a trip. Fantastic trip. Congratulations to M5. 16,239 nautical miles. And they are number two. But who is the winner of the most travelled superyacht of the first 6 months of 2022 trophy at Boat International?
So it goes to... it goes to Pressure Drop, which I guess if you stopped and thought about it, you probably could have guessed. So this is the kind of, we do classify her as a superyacht, but she's in a way more of a research vessel. And she belongs to Victor Vescovo, who's of course famous for having completed the Five Deeps expedition, which was visiting the deepest point in each of the world's five oceans, as well as numerous other crazy things that Victor has done during his lifetime. This year, Pressure Drop started a new mission called the Ring of Fire, which has seen the vessel and its crew dive to the deepest points along the Circum-Pacific Belt. The team rang in the new year in the middle of the South Pacific Ocean after diving the Atacama Trench off the coast of Chile. They then worked their way up the coast of South America before heading west to the Pacific islands of Guam and Palau, with a pit stop in Hawaii along the way. The mission saw its deep diving submersible limiting factor, as she's known, successfully reaching the bottom of the Yap Trench and the Palau Trench in the North Pacific. And she uncovered a sunken US Navy destroyer named Sammy B, which is the deepest shipwreck ever located and surveyed. And we actually have some quite exciting news around Pressure Drop, which is that Victor has agreed to come and be our keynote speaker at the Explorer Yacht Summit, which will be taking place at Monaco Yacht Club on November the 10th.
Tickets available soon.
Yeah. Actually, they are technically already available, but there you go. We'll start making some more noise about it in the coming weeks.
Yeah, we're just lining up all the speakers now. It's going to be a really, really great day. It always is a great day. This will be the third edition.
Yes.
Yeah. Last year was fantastic. So we've got to go one better this year. And Victor certainly helps us get there. He's a fascinating gentleman, and he'll have some great stories to tell. So congratulations to Pressure Drop. If you don't strictly classify her as a superyacht, which some people I think might have trouble with that definition, then M5 takes it.
Which, as a sailing yacht, is really cool.
Yeah, I think that is really cool. But if you do take Pressure Drop as the most well-travelled super yacht, she's done 18,355 nautical miles. So congratulations to those five. Mimi, Aquila, Hodor, and its partner Lonian. And or rather Lonian and his partner Hodor. M5 and DSSV Pressure Drop. Some very, very well-travelled super yachts there. So I don't know about you, but there does seem, I mean, I obviously read the newsletter every day that the team so fastidiously puts together. And it seems to me almost every day there's a super yacht disaster story, a yacht fire or a grounding. So I went back through the archives and that's entirely wrong. There isn't. It's not every day. but there has been.
Has been really quite unbelievable as well, like particularly the last few weeks.
Yeah, it seems like there's been a rash of mishaps, on water mishaps. So just the other day, the 27-meter Canados yacht called Hooligan caught fire and sank off the coast of Tallinn in Estonia. Fortunately, everyone on board was evacuated to a life raft with no injuries reported. A few days before that, the hull of a 26-meter Princess was salvaged from Torquay Marina following a blaze earlier in May. The pics of that boat on fire are horrific.
Yeah, well, that went all across the kind of mainstream press in the UK.
Yeah, it's like a real raging inferno. On the 22nd of July, a Pershing 88 caught fire off Positano in Italy. Again, no injuries, thank God. And then groundings on the 1st of August, a 30-meter Cantieri di Pisa yacht hit a reef in Greece, just off the coast of Mykonos. And on the 4th of July, a 30-meter Ferretti wound up on the beach in Long Island, New York. I think it's probably just a consequence of a lot more people being on their boats and on the water. And of course, bad things will occasionally happen.
I don't know whether it being a particularly, you know, it's been an incredibly hot summer in the Med as well. I presume that doesn't help with fires. I don't know. I have absolutely no technical background for this whatsoever.
Stop playing with magnifying glasses on these boats. But I think I'm sure the data won't support the fact that 2022 is more dangerous than other years. I don't know. We'll have to go back and have a little look. But they do. I don't know. I think the general public. So we track people coming to our website. Obviously, we kind of categorize them by how many times they visit us a month. And so every time there's a yacht fire, we call them the passerby traffic explodes because everyone not very familiar with yachting just loves reading about a yacht fire.
Yeah, I mean, they are quite handy for my KPIs, but I promise I haven't been wandering around the Med with matches just setting fire to a few. But it's human nature, isn't it, that you want to see things on fire? I don't know why that is, but it is the case.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely is. Well, talking about chasing clicks, Sophia, actually, I'm not going to categorize you in the same category as this story, because this drives me mad, this story, right? So there's the Sun published a story on its website the other day about a £3.6 billion super yacht called History Supreme, covered in gold and has dinosaur bones in it. And of course, it's utterly bogus. And total, I don't want Grace to have to edit too many swear words out, so I'll pause there. But it's obviously a junk story, right? But it does the rounds every decade. So I remember seeing this story pop up on the Sun, the Daily Mail, and various other websites. It was about 10 years ago. And in my former life, at my former job, I wrote the ultimate debunking story about this absurd boat that's supposed to be filled with 100,000 kilograms of gold. I mean, it's such obvious BS.
Maybe it's time to reinstate it.
Oh, I don't have the strength. I don't have the willpower to keep pushing against this obvious nonsense.
Maybe we just should feel sorry for the Sun's equivalent of me that's clearly trying to hit their KPIs.
Yeah.
Guys, get the gold super yacht out again. Come on.
But all it takes is 5 seconds of research to appreciate that this story is utterly nonsense. And it'll go away. No one will talk about this for another 10 years. And in 10 years' time, this will pop up on another website and I'll tear what little hair I have left out of my head, because I mean, it's not even from the outside, even for someone without a familiarity with the yachting world, must appreciate. I'm going to say it. This is total bullshit. But I don't know why. I don't know why people keep swallowing this stuff. It drives me crazy. But let's talk about a boat that definitely does exist. And that is Ocean Co.'s remarkable 127-meter sailing boat, Y721, which has been sighted being towed through the Dutch canals. She's on the water.
She is, yeah. It's amazing to see. I mean, there's obviously been so much conversation about this yacht, both from within yachting press and obviously a lot of interest from outside of yachting press, given who we presume to know her owner is. There also has been extra kind of excitement around it because obviously there was a lot of press about whether a bridge in Rotterdam was going to have to be taken down in order for her to be able to sail through it with her three huge masts. Obviously, the pictures that we've now seen, the yacht's on the water, but without her masts. So we presume that they are going to be stepped to the other side of the bridge, which would seem like a sensible solution.
Well, I think the stepping's happening soon, if not today.
Okay. You've got insider intel? I mean, you're saying that with real authority there. I've just seen them all on the water. I don't know. I don't have a live camera on it.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got my drone in the air. Wouldn't that be exciting, though, to see those masts in the boat? Hopefully, we'll be able to bring you some photos very, very soon. Yeah, but the whole bridge dismantling story, that kind of fell apart a little bit. That generated a few clicks to the website, too. That passerby traffic absolutely went mad when we published that story.
And now you've seen some pictures of her on the water. What do you make of the yacht? She's slightly different to what I imagined, and especially coming from Ocean Co. as well.
Yeah, I really like her, actually. She's, you know, she's classic, she's timeless, she's all those kind of worn out adjectives, but, you know, they work really well to describe a boat like this because very elegant. She'll be received really well, I think. But it's hard to quite get a sense of her scale through the photos that we've seen. Proportionally, she looks lovely, but it's often hard to tell with a sailing yacht until the masts are in and the sails are flying. So I'll reserve ultimate judgment until then. I'm sure everyone's waiting with bated breath to see.
Yeah,
to
I'm sure her owner is tuning in just
to see what
top
I have
of
to
his
say.
List to see what Stuart Campbell's opinion is.
But I very much approve of what I've seen so far. I think she looks great, and I can't wait to see the mast in and her sailing round, heeling over at 20 degrees, absolutely charging through the water. She should, with that waterline, be able to get up to some crazy speeds. So, yeah, really exciting. Congratulations to Ocean Co. and everyone involved in that project.
Yeah, like you say, I'm still not sure I've grasped her scale, because I think if you look at the photo, she obviously looks like a big yacht, but I think in my head she looks like a 70-meter yacht, not 127 meters. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see once she's fully.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, because you kind of look at it and you think, wow, that it's hard to grasp 127 metersness. Anyway, we'll
is that a word?
I'm making it a word. As soon as someone takes a photo of that boat, we will grab those photos. Quick smart, and we'll bring them to you.
So I just wanted to flag an article that I've been working on, which I felt would be close to your heart, Stuart, as a as an influencer of Instagram. how many followers have you got?
When do you qualify as an influencer? Not enough. S.j.campbell, come on, people.
Yeah, it's a lovely picture of Stuart in a bath was his latest post. So yeah, if that doesn't get you following,
he doesn't want to see that.
I don't know what will. But yeah, in seriousness, I just want to find an article that we've been working on. So we ran the People and Skills Survey earlier this year in collaboration with the Superyacht Recruiter.
And just for, because I must have been guiltily, I'm not massively familiar. So tell me about the motivation behind this survey.
So the motivation behind the survey was to do, so there's obviously with DockWalk, we run a crew salary survey every year. And obviously a lot of the crew recruiters do their own surveys, and there's quite a lot of information out there about crew and the issues and the salaries they're paid and everything else. But as far as we're aware, there had never been a kind of shoreside survey that has looked at, you know, all the other industries that we quite regularly talk about on the podcast that kind of support what you see on the water. So the idea was talking, you know, across design, yards, brokers, charter brokers, and kind of getting a feel for that. And obviously, we worked with Ed Ewer, who's the founder of Superyacht Recruiter, and I think he really wanted to try and address some of the potential, I mean, issues is maybe too strong, but looking at some things that we maybe don't talk about enough in the industry. So equality, and that we've already written a piece about that because that was something that came very strongly out of it, that actually, obviously, the industry is very biased in terms of people that are involved in it. You know, you only need to look, walk around Monaco Yacht Show to see that. But
it's not a diverse crowd.
No. But there is a real desire. I think the positive that came from the survey is there was, you know, one of the questions was, what would you most like to see? And the number of responses that were, you know, greater diversity, making improvements, making, you know, across the all the sector. So I think there is a real desire to change, which is the positive that we took from that. But one of the other things that the survey questions was social media use, because I think that's something, again, that Ed sees a lot of and, you know, is seeing as an increasingly important area in the sector. And interestingly, all participants, nearly 70% said social media helped them in their careers, which I'm sure you'd get across most industries. But even in my time in yachting, the whole kind of relationship with social media has just done a complete 180.
Well, I'm surprised it's not higher than 70%, actually. That's a bit surprised by that because... But yeah, what you're absolutely right, 180. So I remember when we almost started our Instagram channel by accident. It was just kind of a something that we did. Then we had to root, and we thought, oh, we better hire someone to look after this. And then we found a social media.
We had
manager.
An agency when I was first here. We had an
it
agency.
It was outsourced, wasn't it?
It was outsourced, which was a total nightmare.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
No, that's the agency, then, but just and then, didn't work.
But then by almost over, and then I remember one day, I think it was Lucy, wasn't she? Said, oh, should we start an Instagram channel? And, well, no, there already was one, but it wasn't
Instagram,
very well maintained.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of, it blew up.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think I'm sure if you'd asked what percentage used social media, it'd be more, but it was what percentage found it useful in their career was 70%. Okay. And obviously the most used platform, which you'd expect talking about it in a business context, was 83% of respondents used LinkedIn. Followed by Instagram with 73% and then Facebook. And then there was quite a sharp drop off to things like Twitter and TikTok and things like that. Although TikTok is the one that is kind of predicted to be the next boom area for the superyacht industry. I think I feel about 15 years too old to be on TikTok, but...
Well, if you feel... Yeah. No comment.
The young people in my team tell me it's the place to be. And I also, as part of kind of putting this article together, I spoke to some people that use kind of social media alongside their jobs in the industry. So I spoke to David Seal, who's head of video at Northrop & Johnson. And he's actually another interesting one that kind of almost fell across it by accident, in that he started doing these videos as another way to sell the yacht. And then it's kind of ballooned into this, you know, it's now pretty much what he does. And then I also spoke to our very own Katia, who is the yacht writer on Instagram. And she started her profile before she came to Boat, but she now has 40,000 followers. And she does some really nice kind of candid behind the scenes, makes the industry very accessible. And I think speaking to her, she kind of very early doors realized as a young journalist that she needed to have a kind of social media digital presence if this was the industry that she wanted to be in. I unfortunately was far too lazy or imaginative for that back in the day, but it's really impressive. And generally, I think what's kind of clear and come out of the survey is social media is here to stay. And it's just a case of the industry kind of working out how they can utilize it. And also, I think really taking it seriously in terms of the roles and who they're employing. And, you know, it's now a kind of strategic business interest. It's not just a case of posting pictures of yourself in a bath, Stuart.
Well, you got to give the people what they want. We're now on the hunt for another person to join our social media team. We have a brilliant head of social, Adam, who's now on the hunt for someone else to come along and help him out. Such are the demands of our social channels and commercial commitments and content commitments and everything else that's going on across our social channels. So if you'd like to hear more about that role, you know where we are, podcast@boatinternationalmedia.com. You'll have a brilliant time. It's a brilliant team. But yeah, I mean, to talk about the video side of things. So David Seal, those videos are massively popular. And I used to work with a guy called Nick Burnham as well, who many people might know as Aquaholic Nick. So he started a YouTube channel. And he I remember him telling me he was completely stunned by the amount of success and followers he gained very, very quickly. And I think now he's doing very well from it. And that's kind of become his main job. And he's a brilliant presenter, does a fantastic job and really makes some of those boats he gets on very accessible to everyone watching on YouTube.
I think an interesting point that David... Right. When I spoke to him, was he said, you know, YouTube is the second biggest search engine, which we so often forget because we all use Google, but we forget that people are using YouTube all the time to search for things. And he said, if you think ultra high net worths are not using it, you're kidding yourself. Yeah. Which, yeah, I thought was quite an interesting point to maybe some of us that are a little more hesitant to put ourselves out there.
Or feature yourself in a bath on Instagram.
Right, should we move on to the news?
Yeah, let's talk news. Should I take the first one?
Yeah, absolutely.
First up is the news that it has been a very busy week for our friends at Amels. The keel has been laid on the very first Amels 80 at the Darman Yachting Hull Building Shipyard in Galati, Romania. The first hull is due for delivery in spring 2025 and work on the second hull is already underway. The 80-metre model is now the largest offering in the shipyard's popular limited editions range and was unveiled during a live stream broadcast in Amsterdam on March the 31st that you were actually at, Sophia.
I was, yeah. So it was very much designed to be a digital thing, but because we were doing a partnership with them, Harry and I from the commercial team were out there, so saw all of it behind the scenes, and it was an amazing production that they put on. And it was also great to speak to Espen about working on that design. And obviously previously Tim Hayward did the limited editions, and this is kind of the next move forward. But yeah, it's great. At the time, they were being a bit kind of, cagey's the wrong word, they are
coy,
that's the word I was looking for, as to whether there was one in build or not. But it's great to see that there is one underway.
So like you said, yep, the exterior of the Amels 80 has been designed by Espen Oino, and Darman turned to Dutch studio Sino for the interiors, marking the pair's first collaboration. Meanwhile, the 77.8-metre Amels Custom 78 has been delivered to her owner and will now embark on an ambitious global itinerary under private usage. So maybe she will feature in our top five most travelled yachts in the second half of 2022. You'll just have to wait and see. The boat is now called Energy. Again, Espen was responsible for this yacht's exterior and general arrangement with interior styling coming from Francois Zuretti. The yacht is now the second largest member of the Amels fleet by gross tonnage. She features a 2,885 gross ton interior, falling slightly short of the shipyard's current 86-metre flagship Here Comes the Sun and its 2,956 gross tons. Talking about Here Comes the Sun, just real quick, have you seen some of the videos of U81, the support boat that runs with it?
No.
It looks absolutely amazing. So not a multi-hull, which has become quite trendy for support boats.
And you still like it?
I still do like it. It's so tough looking. It looks really, really cool. So hopefully we can bring you a few more details about U81 soon. But there's been some photos of her on Instagram. And yeah, so I've been gawking quite a bit at that boat because her carrying capacity is significant. She'll be able to do some very cool stuff with Here Comes the Sun. Alrighty, what's up next?
So next up, we have that following the successful completion of sea trials, the 50-metre Ciao has been handed over to her owner and is now cruising the east coast of Sardinia. Formerly known as CRN124, Ciao features a chiselled exterior by Amiga Artex and a convivial interior penned by Masari Design, the latter of which also crafted the yacht's exterior social spaces. The design brief from Ciao came from a knowledgeable owner who requested al fresco living spaces as well as well-appointed social areas. Key features include a sun deck spa pool and a generous al fresco dining area on the upper deck. The design team had plenty of space to play with a beam of 9 meters and a GT of 499 and a spacious four-deck layout. Ferretti Group has several other full custom projects in work in Ancona, including the 60-metre CRN141 and the 67-metre CRN143. So we're looking forward to hopefully seeing them on the water soon as well.
So talking about another CRN, you'll actually be able to see 62-metre CRN Rio, brand new boat, in the Monaco Yacht Show. She'll be there, which is fantastic because the press release came through today. They finally released the latest kind of super yacht exhibitor list. I'm sure there'll be lots more boats to be added because there's probably only, I don't know, 35 boats on it or something. So obviously there'll be tons more turning up. But it gives a good indication, and Rio will be there, which is fantastic news. And she's also in the October issue of Boat International, which will be at the show. Lastly, this week, we have the news that the first Club Swan 80 sailing yacht, My Song, has been delivered. The yacht is the first hull in Nauta Swan's new Club Swan 80 class and is the fifth in a series of yachts by the same name commissioned by who else? Pierluigi Loripiana. Pierluigi, friend of the pod, has appeared on the podcast in one of our very early ones when he spoke not long actually after the previous My Song, the Baltic, had slipped off its cradle on that boat in that terrible accident and was a total loss. So dig back through the archives, because he was very candid about the situation. And it was just a really interesting chat with a guy who knows more about sailing in yachts than just about anybody. But great that his new boat has been delivered. So now he's got this one, and obviously Masconada's in the fleet as well. This new My Song was penned by Nauta Swans designer Juan Camugian, with her interiors by Nauta Design, and construction was completed with the yard's strategic partner, Persico Marine. Nauta Design and Pierluigi Loripiana have worked together for a long time on the original My Song, but this is the first time the Milanese studio and Finnish shipyard have collaborated on a project. The brief was to create an interior that was reflective of a Carbon One design racer, but that also had a second character as a family cruiser. That was the kind of brief of the bigger My Song as well, the Baltic as well. He wanted, I remember he told me, kind of a Jekyll and Hyde kind of boat.
Well, I was reading, a lot of her furniture is completely removable. So obviously when she's racing, they just take it all to shore.
And he always really pushes the boundaries as well. Because again, you know, I keep harking back to the Baltic, the bigger My Song that was lost. But he had linen composite walls and inside. So they really broke new ground to keep it super, super light. But you walk into it, and it was beautifully furnished and very comfortable. But it was so light for its length. It was a real performer anyway.
Hopefully he's got over it better than you have.
Yeah, I'm still...
You're still really struggling with it.
Yeah. So My Song completes the Club Swan range, which includes the Club Swan 36, 50 and 125 models. She is set to make her debut at the Maxi Yacht Rolex Cup in September, followed by the Monaco Yacht Show. We have a writer jetting out to the Maxi Yacht Rolex Cup to have a sail. So keep an eye out for a future issue of Boat International for the full report on that exciting new Club Swan 80.
Stuart, do you want to explain why we haven't got any data?
We haven't got any data, Sophia, because I stole your data idea for all the boats that have done the longest cruises, and I thought that would make much better conversation piece at the top of the podcast. As a result, we are dataless.
Well, no, you did then promise to put in new data, but instead you went for lunch, didn't you?
I had a lunch and then a lovely afternoon tea. So I haven't managed to get the data story together, but I have just got an email from Raphael. We're going to talk about next week, mind you, we'll talk about lots of the new shipyards that have sprung up in the last couple of years as a result of the COVID superyacht boom. We'll look at the projects they've got in build, where they are and things like that. It's going to be great. So stay tuned.
Yeah, I am off on my holidays next week. But while I'm away, Monday's big boat interview will be with Johnny Horsfield of H2 Yacht Design. He came into Boat HQ this week to have a chat. So yeah, don't miss that on the Monday before Stuart's back with some data next week with Charlotte.
How was Johnny?
He was on great form. Yeah,
he's always on good form, Johnny.
Well, apart from the fact that he couldn't park his car, but we got over that.
I bet it was a flash car too.
Yeah, he scraped his alloy as well on the way in, but it's fine. Oh, the podcast was still fine.
Well, don't miss that. Johnny's always, he's a great storyteller and he's great fun. So I'm sure it'll be a brilliant interview. I look forward to listening to myself, for myself rather. And that brings us to a conclusion of this week's Boat Briefing, which was mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Don't miss Monday's interview, and otherwise, we'll see you next week for more Boat Briefing.